sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
This is Dan Jurgens.
This is Jason J. Lewis, the voice of Superman on Justice League Action.
This is Mark Wade, writer of Superman Birthright.
And you're listening to The Krypton Report.
The Krypton Report podcast is dedicated to all things Superman, Supergirl, and the planet Krypton. We discuss movies, TV, game, comics, and all things DC. So join me, Tyler, with my co-host James and Jania.
Welcome to The Krypton Report. And continuing my interview with podcasters and friends, I have on today's episode the host of Always Hold On to Smallville, Mr. Zach Moore. Welcome, Zach.
What's up, man? Happy to be here.
That's glad. You know, it's nice to have you on the show. We've talked about this for a while, and it's just been, well, crazy. I mean, you have a busy schedule. We have a busy schedule. And,
yeah.
So Zach's podcast that I've talked about probably just about in every episode I've mentioned is he is going back and, you know, reviewing Smallville. And what's crazy is we're on here, I think by the time this podcast episode airs, we will be right past the 20th anniversary of Smallville. Isn't that crazy? 20 years ago? Like,
that makes you feel old, man, to know that the fresh new Superman of the 21st century that you grew up watching grow up is now, the show's 20 years old.
I mean, you know, I've talked about before on your podcast and in here just how that show was in the background of my life and was really like where I was in life. Mm-hmm. And then now we have Superman Lois, which, as you can see, the child behind me, represents where I am in life now. And it's just kind of crazy because I'm like, you know, you still watch Smallville and you're like, oh yeah, Smallville, you know, it's not Smallville. And now you're like, there's like kids who weren't even born when the show came out who are now finding Smallville. Like, oh, I like Smallville. And you're like, yep, I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's cool to, it is cool because, you know, Smallville is at that perfect time to sit back, watch, and kind of reminisce and recap and look back on it compared to, you know, the newer shows and stuff. Like, you know, was it, we just hit the 10-year anniversary of Arrow?
Nine?
Was it nine or
Yeah, because, let's see, Arrow was 2012.
Yeah, it was 9 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to think for a second. I was like, wait.
And it's, you know, it's only been over 1 year. Really.
Yes. So next year's a 10th anniversary of when the Arrowverse started.
Right.
And it's already like, wow, that whole thing. Because it's not like Arrow's, you know, Arrow is done and over with, but there's still that remnants that continues because of the other shows that it came. So it still feels like it's part of our lives.
Right.
Though it's,
I mean, almost all the other shows going on started on Arrow in some form or fashion. I mean, obviously The Flash, Barry Allen showed up first on Arrow. And
the only spinoffs were Black Lightning, which, because it was originally supposed to be a Fox property.
Yeah, true spinoff, like unrelated. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Supergirl started on CBS and wasn't supposed to really be part of it. And then Stargirl, which is on CW and eventually will probably get in the fold somehow. But I think because they're moving to Canada next year for filming, I think, if I remember reading something. But every other show, Flash, Legends, Batwoman, all were spun from an episode of Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Superman and Lois was from Supergirl.
Which they folded into the Arrowverse, obviously. So, yeah, it's all... Man, we could have had... Yeah, that's an alternate universe somewhere, right? There's Smallville had its Flash spinoff, and its Aquaman spinoff, and its Supergirl spinoff, and its Green Arrow spinoff. I mean, it's so funny you look at the characters. I mean, other than Aquaman, who obviously went on to movies and was the most successful movie of the DCEU, you know, which is, you know...
It blows your mind, like... Aquaman, really?
I love the Aquaman movie, by the way. I mean, it's I don't know. I found it a great, enjoyable superhero movie. But, you know, outside of Aquaman, who they tried to spin off, literally shot a pilot for with Justin Hartley, who became Green Arrow on Smallville a year later after they didn't pick up that show. All those other characters could have easily had, you know, they have shows now in the Arrowverse, could easily have their own show from Smallville.
I always wanted the Smallville spinoff show to just be like the Justice League, where kind of like how the 90s X-Men cartoon was like, it would have this intro with all the X-Men but not all of them were in the episode. So you'd have this Justice League show that maybe this week's episode is a Green Arrow, or and this week's is Aquaman. You know, you wouldn't have to have all the characters all the time. And we never got that. And it's sad that Smallville ended, and so did all those other potential characters to live on. So
Yeah, it's true. I think they talked about Steven S. DeKnight, who wrote and directed Justice, the season six episode. I think he actually planned to do a spinoff. There were talks of that, but it just would have been too expensive. And obviously at the time, and then of course, Tom Welling never wore Superman costume. So at some point you got to either talk around that or end it or convince him to do it. I mean, so if he's never going to do that, what are you going to do?
Yeah. So Zach is the Smallville guy, and so I have these questions here that we talk about, and we're going to throw them out there, but being the Smallville guy, some of the questions are like, nope, don't count, but still being the Superman guy, it all works. So the first question is, how did Superman start for you? What's your first, remember? Like, was it, the more I've thought about mine, I think my first visual of Superman was the Fleischer cartoons. Like, I remember getting that VHS, and I actually have that tape up there on my shelf.
Oh, nice, nice.
I remember those somewhere in the background, So where does Superman start for Zach?
I think it definitely starts with the Christopher Reeve movies. My parents had them on tape, so I watched them a lot as a kid, put on my little Superman costume, watch along. The George Reeves show, The Adventures of Superman, it was on Nick at Night when I was a kid. I remember I don't know if kids still have these, but I had a little trampoline when I was a kid. So I just remember jumping on that, watching the show, that kind of thing, taking off. Exactly. Yeah. So those are my formative memories of Superman. Also, complete side note, and I don't know if I've actually even mentioned this before on the podcast or not, but we had a phone booth in my house growing up.
What?
My mom used to work in telecommunications, and, she's doing some, I think it was from, I believe it might've been from Astroworld or something, some place that had phone booths that were getting rid of them or something. And she was like, can I have that? And they were like, sure. And it's this wooden phone booth. And it was always this conversation piece in our living room growing up. So that was part of my, Superman thing. I have pictures of me as a little kid in there and the Superman costume too. I should post those, and I don't know if I've mentioned those or not on a podcast.
I don't think so. I don't. I've listened to pretty much every podcast you've done on Always Hold On Smallville. I discovered your podcast back in season one because our first conversation was Ryan.
Yeah, or Stray. Yeah,
and then Ryan was the second.
Yeah,
Ryan.
We go way back, man. So
it's crazy how much time has passed.
Right. A lot of life has changed in the last. I didn't think it would take me in real time 10 years to do Smallville. I won't take me 10, but it'll be pretty close because I thought when I started, I'll do like three of these a season and I'll be done in 4 years, but three of these a season, three seasons a year.
Yeah.
But life happens. I take breaks, I do other things, go kind of like, hey, Superman Lois came out. Let's talk about that. So
exactly.
Anyway.
I mean, how could you not as a fan, this new show with a new, and I've said this before, is Superman Lois was okay, let's blend Lois and Clark and Smallville into a show.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah.
It's like, we're going to kind of redo Smallville with their kids, and then we're going to kind of do a continuation of kind of where we left off with Lois and Clark, the next, the next moment. And so everyone's okay. But you said that about the phone booth is cool. There's a place up here, an outdoor shopping mall town that still has phone booths that are for fun. And every time I were up there, I'm like, yeah. And we were on vacation one time and we found a phone booth graveyard. And I was just like,
oh, wow.
It was just creepy because it's all these old boxed, phone booths. And I'm just like, that's haunting.
It's a relic of a different era.
You talked about your photos, which would be awesome. I've been asking my mom to find the photo of me at the washing machine with my arm like this crying because she had to wash my Superman costume pajamas.
Oh, no.
So they're in the washer, and I'm just sitting there in my diaper.
You couldn't wear them that one day. You're upset, right?
Like, I'm in my diaper or my underwear, like, and I'm, like, just crying because there they are. And, you know, when you talked about Nick at Night, I think, sometimes the memories kind of, when you're young with that, you're not sure. But I think my first Superman with George was on I Love Lucy. Like, I Love Lucy episode before his actual show proper, because I used to watch I Love Lucy with my grandma, and I remember seeing that with my grandma and great-grandma. So I think that was my first introduction to George as Superman.
Yeah, and the George Reeves show, I mean, it's on DVD now. Is it on HBO Max?
Nope. It's part of my campaign to keep mentioning it. Like, hey, you know, that's why, like, I say, like, I miss DC Universe. And people are like, oh, well, it's all on HBO Max. I'm like, no, it's not. Because what I loved about DC Universe was the stuff I didn't own. Well, yeah, I mean, the old Shazam series that you couldn't find, that was just there. It's like, wow, this existed, you know? Or the George Reeves Superman, which is harder to find all the seasons.
I have them all on DVD from back in the day, so I'm holding on to those. I mean, even when stuff gets streaming, I'm going to get – we're collectors, man. We're fans. We're going to keep all this stuff. But,
exactly. Because of, like you mentioned on your podcast, is sometimes streaming services will clip, nip, and change little things in what they broadcast. Like, one of the most interesting things, and I point this out, is go to – if you were to go to Netflix right now and watch the first episode – this episode, the Reaper episode of Supernatural. The musical cues are not the musical cues that they were later put on season one on the DVDs.
Oh, okay.
Because when they were able to release the whole media, they had gotten more popular, had the budget. They could buy the classic rock song music that they wanted to use. It's all like that of the time pop songs, you know, just like on Smallville. But they took all of that out when they released on home video. Home media, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
And it's all like in the episodes, Don't Fear the Reaper, if you watch it on DVD. But if you watch it streaming, it's all the original music that's when they broadcast it. And that's why it's even weirder, because of course, Supernatural's legacy is the last episode always starts with Carry On My Wayward Son, recapping the season or seasons, depending on where it is. And that's like what it kind of became, the unofficial theme song. But if you watch the streaming of the first season, it's not that song because they didn't have the budget. So it's to me, it's like, that's another reason why the home release can be very much like a time capsule, because we all know how on digital you can just edit. It's just a file, you know?
Right. Right.
And they can change whatever they want.
Yeah. I got a shout out to my friend Matt Truex. He's experienced this a couple of times, once with Birds of Prey and then again with Lois and Clark, because there's some popular music on Lois and Clark that not all of it gets replaced, but some of it does on both these shows. But like Lois and Clark's on HBO Max now in HD, which is fantastic. Yeah. Right. Everybody go check that out.
I watched the pilot, which is awesome because it's a made for TV movie basically. So
exactly. And a lot of the music is there, but some of it's not. So hold on to those DVDs. Same thing with Birds of Prey, right? It's just because they didn't have these music packages, right, when they sold the show, and the way that syndication and streaming has all gone and stuff like that. So hold on to those DVDs. Always hold on to those DVDs, basically. Yes. So Smallville, very fortunately, Smallville didn't have that problem. The DVDs had all the music. Hulu, it's on as of this recording. Who knows where it'll be, yeah. You know, whenever anyone listens to this, right? But they have all the music, so I would be heartbroken if they had to change anything on Smallville, because part of my huge fandom is the music. So anyway, yes.
It makes you wonder when the Blu-ray. We have the Blu-ray coming later this month.
Yeah, October. Yeah,
in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, I think it is.
I think it'll be fine, because if it was fine on the DVDs, it'll be fine on the Blu-rays. That's my understanding. I don't know. We'll find out.
It makes sense. It always makes me wonder, like, how the contracts or the license, because I mean, everything's changed about how, you know, shows sell and the royalties and everything works through syndication now that we have streaming. So it's like,
right,
who knows what the contracts were set up for back when, like you said, when they sold these shows. So we got Zach starting with Chris. Now, did you see Superman 1 first or 2? Because my memory as a child is always, I don't know which one I saw first, because they just blended together in my mind.
Yeah, I think I saw them simultaneously. You know, I remember, you know, this is big in my household, and I've said this. I know I've said this on the podcast before. We record stuff off TV. Like, I don't know if everybody did this, but we have VCRs and blank VHS tapes.
I still have, when I watch Return of the Jedi, burned in my brain where the commercial breaks were.
Yeah.
Because yes. That was the only Star Wars I had until they did the THX first trilogy box release in like 96.
Ordered again for the last time, right? It was like, yeah, well, he wasn't kidding. George Lucas, he tried to tell you that this was the last time he could own those. No, I feel the same way. I mean, like, King Kong is my favorite movie of all time. And so I watched the colorized version on TNT and we recorded that off TV. And so, like, I know exactly when it's like, it's going to fade to black. It's so interesting how we watch stuff like that. But anyway, to answer your question, I know we're going on so many side tangents.
That's what this is about. Yeah. It's about getting to know other fans and podcasters who podcast about the same stuff, but just like who you are as a fan, you know?
Cool. Well, yes. Well, I'm all about tangents, so that's not a problem for me, as if you're on the podcast that I do, right? But I think I must just watch them simultaneously, and I think you always do some of those things when you're a kid. You have all this time, and it's like, well, I'm going to watch the Superman movies today, this weekend, right? And yep. So you just watch both of them, and the one and two do kind of flow together anyway, so it makes a lot of sense. So those are the ones I would watch over and over and over. And we never had Superman 3 or 4.
I've said Superman this before. 4 was just on TV constantly. I felt like it was always on basic cable, like WGN or whatever. Like, it was always like, maybe. I feel like every time I was at my grandpa's house, you know, I'd play in his basement and I felt like I'd turn it on and there was Superman 4. Like, it just was there. 3 was the one that I didn't see till 06 when they released all the,
Come in on DVD, huh, for Superman Returns?
Yeah. Because my local video store had the box, but the copy was always gone. You know, and as a kid, I didn't think about, well, let's go check the library or another video store.
That's right, kids. You didn't have access to everything you ever wanted at all times back when we were kids. And that was probably another factor why I never saw Superman 4 for a long time. I remember Superman 3 I saw on TV, but it, like, scared me. It was when the one becomes a cyborg. I was like, that's terrifying. Oh, yeah. And
it's creepy.
And I know a lot of people who saw it, no matter what, like, whenever when you saw it, if you're at a certain age and you saw that, it's one of those things just sticks with you. It's like, oh my god, it's like, it's gonna go run and hide behind the couch situation. It's just terrifying, right? Because she, like, the music stops and she screams and it stops and comes inside.
It's,
you
know, just eerie.
You're a kid.
Weird.
It's like, oh, it's unsettling, right?
I bet if I go and grab my kids right now and show it to them, they'd be like,
scar them for life.
I'd be like, so what did you guys do in the last podcast? Well, me and Zach Moore were talking, and we decided to scar our children for life.
That's
so
right.
So we showed them the Superman 3 scene.
You guys got to go through the same rites of passages that we did. But Superman 4, I eventually saw. We rented from, you know, Blockbuster or something. And that was, I mean, I say, like, later. Like, I was probably watching the Christopher Reeve first two movies when I was, like, 5 or 6. And then, like, maybe when I was, like, 9 or 10, I saw Superman 4 finally. And then somewhere in there, I saw bits and pieces of Superman 3. I mean, you'd always see, to me, Superman 3 was always on TV. Mm. It was like, you see bits and pieces of evil Superman here, this or that. So, like, I kind of knew what it was. But 1 and 2 are the ones I just watch over and over and, like, burn into my mind. It's, like, my favorites and always will be, you know, so.
I mean, that's why, like, I have such a high defense for Superman 4 is because, like, it was just there. Part of the childhood, you know, in the background. And you liked it because it was like Superman versus, like, Nuclear Man. He's powerful. He's not exactly like a Kryptonian, but
yeah, it's a guy in a costume. It's very comic booky.
Yeah.
Superman it's not a great film. Not even a good film. But you know what? They did some stuff that is straight out of the comic books. I mean, you got Superman with a giant net of nuclear missiles throwing into the sun. I mean, that is straight out of comic books. And you gotta respect that, you know.
And, you know, it is what it is, you know.
It is what it is. I'm glad it exists. I'd rather have 4 Christopher Reeve Superman movies than 3 or 2, you know.
Because, I mean, there's good parts to it, and his performance is good. And, you know, one of the big things I actually liked about it was he went back, like, to Smallville as Clark. And we have this great scene of him on the farm. And one of the deleted scenes is, like, him looking through where he's selling the farm. And then he hears the guy pull up, and then you see him turn on the Clark. Like, you know, and
that's in the movie, though. Is it? Yeah.
Maybe it's an extended scene. I don't know. There's a lot of deleted scenes.
There's a lot of extended deleted stuff before. I would love if somebody found that on a shelf in WB and cleaned that up and released it, because that'd be fantastic. You still these fan movements going on out there, right?
There's a guy who's doing it himself, little by little. I can't remember his name. He just did an interview on Superboy Legacy podcast. He was talking about how he's been cleaning up for and
doing Aaron Price, I think his name is, and he's doing some special effects and stuff. I mean, I'm keeping an eye on that. That looks interesting. I don't know if I mean, obviously he doesn't have access to the like deleted scenes. They aren't all dirty and stuff, because if anyone's seen the DVD sets, mm-hmm. they release some deleted scenes for Superman 4. I'm like, okay, that's kind of fuzzy, but whatever. But some are like got scratches all over them. And like, where did you find this stuff? Like, did you pull out of the trash can? Like, I'm sure there is a complete somewhere scenes or a rough cut of this in some archives, and just people just need to find it and restore it, because it's the last Christopher Superman adventure and it deserves to be seen. Because people don't know, Superman 4 was like, it got slashed like in half. They cut like 45 minutes out of it. So despite its dodgy special effects to begin with, the story is kind of nonsensical because they took out like a third of the movie, you know? Yep. So I'm all for that. And I think it does have historical significance since it's one of the Christopher Superman movies. So,
I mean, it does. And the thing is, if you put it out like Warner Archive, it would sell, just like they released Supergirl and they released it on DVD Blu-ray with like two of the cuts. Like,
right. I got that one too from the Warner Archive. Yep. Right?
One cut was the director's cut. Like, I think the Blu-ray or the DVD was, and the other one was the standard. I don't remember. I have it. But if they did Superman 4, I mean, they released the 3-hour TV cut of Superman the movie.
Yeah, same Warner Archive. Yeah, yep. I got and that. I love that. Yeah.
So
there's an audience for all this stuff, you know? Right. And I think and Christopher Reeve, just even beyond just Superman fans, like pop culture, he is Superman. Right. And he always will be the default.
Like, you know, when you say Superman in just a general overarching conversation with just your normie, that's your default. Mm-hmm. It'll be a long time before that isn't your default. And then it's kind of like, who would it be? You know, like,
well, I think the reason that is because one, back then there was less media, there was less options, there was less versions of everything. It was like, okay, you had Kirk Allen was the first live action Superman in some serials. Yep. And then there was George Reeves on the show, which lasted several seasons. And George Reeves was Superman for like 20 years as far as pop culture goes. And then Christopher Reeve comes along and he's Superman in major motion pictures, like four of them over the course of over a decade. And then there was no other big movie Superman until Brandon Routh, who was playing Christopher Reeve Superman, so that even extends the legacy, you know. So if you look at it that way, it's like, yeah, there's no the reach of him as Superman in the pop culture imprint is going to be really hard to replicate by anybody. Because even today, you have Henry Cavill playing Superman in movies, you have Tyler Hoechlin playing him on TV, right? You just had Brandon Routh return as him on TV. You have all kinds of versions of everything going on. So there's not like no one has a sole claim on the character like Christopher Reeve did for so long.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely correct. You know, we had the crisis that was kind of a, hey, look at all the stuff that we've had. So, but all right, moving on with all my questions here.
Sure.
All right. No, you're fine. I'm tangent all day. Favorite version of Superman. Now that means it could be a movie, comic, you know, even if you're like, hey, I love the old radio. Like, what is your favorite version of the character?
You know, as a Smallville guy, I feel like I have to say Smallville, right? Because that's like the definitive Superman for me to an extent. Obviously, Christopher Reeve is the definitive Superman for me as Superman, but it's like I love the Smallville universe so much. I love the Smallville universe, you know? And of course, mm-hmm. you know, if you listen to the podcast, I poke a lot of fun at it and have a lot of criticisms of it, but it all comes from a place of love, right?
Yes. I mean, if you love it, you have the right to say, hey, I know it's not perfect. Like, you know, I told you this.
There's
before.
Nuance, you know?
My brother, we would watch it. Eventually, the theme song became Somebody Save Lana. You know, not Somebody Save Me. You know, he was like, Somebody Save Lana. And I remember when I was watching the 10th season, he's like, that show's still on? Because he had, like, dropped off in season 8, you know? And
that was most people's reaction when I told him I was still watching Smallville in, like, the later season. Like, whoa, that's is he Superman yet? I'm like, well, no, but so, I mean... Smallville's so much like its own thing almost. It's hard to say. This is my favorite version of Superman. It's my favorite show. People ask me, so it's my go-to. So, I mean, if I had to say, yeah, definitely my favorite TV show would be Smallville. My favorite movies would be the Christopher Reeve movies. And comic book-wise, I got to go with like anything written by Geoff Johns because he's my favorite comic book writer. And especially his team with Geoff Johns and Gary Frank. Mm-hmm. I feel like they capture the character writing and visually-wise. Because they draw them like Christopher Reeve.
they do. So it's much. You know, I was recently talking about that because, you know, we have the Superman 78 comic that just came out. And we have the Batman 89 comic that just came out. And, you know, and I was talking with some friends, like, how it's interesting to me how they're able to draw, like, Michael Keaton just enough where in your brain you can say it's Michael Keaton, but it's not an exact likeness. And then you look at the Superman 78 comic and you see how they draw Christopher Reeve, similar where it's just enough like him. But then I'm like looking at the Gary Frank, like, this almost looks more like him than the 78 comic does. And I'm like, how do they get away with that kind of likeness? Because they're not saying that it's him like they are. So it's just interesting, you know, when you bring up how they, Geoff Johns and Gary Frank had done it. Mm-hmm. Even most recently, if you go back and you look at Doomsday Clock, where I think was the last time Geoff Johns and Gary Frank had done the character. So, little Crypto's in here. That's what my kids named our white puppy.
There you go.
Crypto.
That is a cute dog.
He's a cute dog. He's a great puppy. So, I mean, that takes out like a bunch of questions because we know, but you know, Smallville is great. Like I love Smallville. Like, I have the Smallville jacket hanging up over here and I have all the Smallville action figures, all three of them, you know, all three of the Clarks they released. Right. I'm bummed they never released like, you know, trench coat Clark, like black trench coat Clark. I feel like,
oh yeah. I love the blur costume from season 9. I have the Funko Pops, you know, and they have one wave, and I was always hoping for a second wave. Maybe we'll get one. I don't know. Because the first wave came out of nowhere. I was like, okay. Like, what was this, like a couple years ago, like 2018 or something, 2019? Yeah. They're like, Smallville. I'm like, Smallville Funko Pops, real late on this. Yeah, like, I mean.
And it was weird because it wasn't like, okay, for example, like they did the Clark Scarecrow, which makes sense. You know, then they did the Clark Kent season finale shirt rip, which is great, but I feel like I have that one, but I feel like that's not like the number one representation of the character. Like, why don't we have like,
well, yeah, it's
blue shirt, red jacket, or
to the same thought that it's like, if you ever look at, I would say half of the internet articles about Smallville these days, it's always the last shot of the show with him ripping the shirt. I was like, first of all, spoilers. Second of all, that does not represent the show at all. That is such false advertising.
I wish, you know, like, I love the red jacket. Like, before I even owned it, like, I just thought that was cool because it was the closest of giving him a costume that was more his own compared to, you know, anything else where he was ripping off the Brandon Routh costume or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I would like that as a Funko or that as the image of Clark, you know, and that's like when Crisis and everyone's like, is he going to be Superman? That was what I was hoping. Like maybe he'd go out in the barn and grab that jacket and put that jacket on.
You mean the season 10 jacket? Yeah. Yeah. But you know, the first wave of the Funko Pops, they had the President Lex, which I loved. I've always loved Lex in the white suit. So it's funny. Yes, I know that doesn't represent like the Lex of the show that often, but that did show up a lot. It showed, yeah. I mean, even season 1, it showed up. Season 7, whenever they have like alternate evil Lex Luthor feature visions, that's what you have. Like President Lex has got the glove and all that. And I thought, yeah, that's kind of a deep cut. But I that was on my list. Like I always want something of this, and they made it. That's fantastic. So, but yeah, I mean, Green Arrow, yeah, great. But he was a main character in the last three seasons, and like a guest star and a few episodes before that. I get like Green Arrow is popular now because of Smallville, but making him one of the first wave of Funko Pops is I don't know. I didn't understand that. Yeah.
Because, you know, like separating the art from the artist, Chloe was a bigger deal to Smallville. You know, we didn't get a Chloe, we didn't get a Lana Pop, but we got Lois in her business suit, which is like flash forward last episode Lois. You know,
like, well, to be fair, she's not wearing like her glasses and stuff. So I think it is
true.
And I saw, because I was wondering, like, is this a generic Lois Lane or is this Smallville specific? If you look at, I believe it's the second episode. Yeah. The second episode of season 9, Metallo. If you look up images, like just photos of the episode, like promotional images of Lois, Erica Durant's on set, she's wearing something that looks pretty much like that. So I'm like, that must be what they based it off of.
See?
That's but still, season 9, like, it's like Smallville was so much more than the last 2 or 3 years, right? I think most most people know Smallville from the first two or three years. So like, so I know we're like talking about like collectibles and stuff now, but real quick on this Funko Pop thing, like the first wave, right? As we kind of were talking about Clark on the Scarecrow with the S, got it. That's a poster. Everybody knew that, yeah. You know, makes perfect sense. That's iconic. Got it. It's funny that he's wearing the boots, little work boot, like little work boots. The, Tom Welling wore those on set, but Clark was naked. Like Clark was wearing boxers. So it's like, you're telling me that Whitney beat him up, ripped all his clothes off, and then put his shoes back on? No, that's just a funny, like, no, there was no QC check on that. Like,
well, I'm
someone just saw the photo, like the set photo of Tom Welling was like, oh, yeah, he had shoes on.
I'm just thinking, supposed did they to have ever do a Funko with like bare feet? That's not like an animal.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I've tried to draw the line at just Smallville because I don't want to fall down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I fell down that because I had friends get me a couple, and like I still stick to just basically Superman, and then I have like one of each Justice Leaguer. So I have comic book, John Stewart, Flash from the TV show, Aquaman from the movie. You know, like
is there a Flash from the Grant Gustin Flash?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
see, if like there was ever a John Wesley Shipp Funko Pop, I'd be like, maybe I gotta get it.
I would totally get that,
with the red boots. Speaking of shoes and stuff, but so we got Scarecrow Clark. We have series finale last shot Superman Rip Clark. Okay, then you have President Lex. Great, Lois Lane. Okay, Green Arrow. Okay, so it's like these are all like season 7 forward, except for Scarecrow Clark. So fine. You know what? That's wave one. They did their market research. They decided we got to have a Lois Lane in here. Green Arrow's popular. Sure. Give him a Lex, and then we'll give you two Clarks. Like you, blue shirt, red jacket Clark. So here's my, and I say this a lot on Twitter, but I just want to say this now. All right. Wave two for the Funko Pops. Blue shirt, red jacket Clark Kent. All right. Season 9 trench coat blur Clark Kent. Lana Lang with the kryptonite necklace from season 1. Chloe Sullivan holding a Smallville torch. Right? Lionel Luthor, number 5, with long hair.
Yeah. I mean,
so that's your next wave. Like, yeah. And then keep going. Like, do like, you know, you do the Kents, you do the other heroes, if you do 3 and 4, but for you got to have more of the Smallville core cast, in my opinion, if you're going to do more of this. I have no idea if they're going to do more. I don't know what the sales were. I would love if they did more because I want to expand my collection to have just more off, like, because Smallville, it had a lot of stuff, but there's not that much Smallville memorabilia merchandise. So like anything that's like officially put out with Smallville on it, I'm all about it. So anyway, well, like, there you go. There's my Funko rant.
No, I agree with you because we get all these waves of other stuff, and I'm hoping, like, you know, one of my biggest hopes is with McFarlane putting out so many figures that they'll go back to starting to issue figures from shows. Because I want my Tyler Hoechlin Superman figure, but I would love for them to go back and do like a Smallville figure, you know, because like you said, I have, there's 3 Clarks that were released. The first one where he's wearing the blue sweater.
The action figures. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have all 3 of them, you know, and then that one was, there was that one, Lex and cheerleader Lana.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released like the Justice line of figures, which the first one I got of that was Flash. And then I got the last one I got was Clark because he was harder to find. And I still don't have Cyborg. That's the one I didn't get because it was harder to find, but the price had went up so high so quickly on that one. But those are over there. I have the Green Arrow, Aquaman, and Impulse. And then the one that I didn't know existed for the longest time was the figure of Clark with the red jacket, the season 10 red jacket.
Yeah, your favorite jacket, yeah.
Yeah, and that one I paid pretty penny for because I was going to have this one.
but you know what? To wrap back around your original question, you know, the reason why Smallville is my favorite, I would say, is because it came out at the perfect time for me. As anyone's listening to any of my podcasts, says this all the time, but I was the same age as Clark Kent was on the show. So I grew up with him all 4 years of high school. Unlike Clark, I did not drop out of college. I graduated, so I think our paths kind of diverged at that point.
Totally.
But it was still just a marker of my life, you know, for 10 years. I mean, think about, you know, from when you're 14 to 24, a lot of life happens, right? But the one constant in my life was Smallville, you know?
I mean, so I was in high school.
That's why it'll always be my favorite.
I was 2 years ahead of you. So I was in high school. I went through college, a few years of wandering, got married the year, like, I got married a couple of months before Smallville ended.
There you
and
go.
Like, and then, like, to commemorate, like, as a wedding gift, my mother-in-law got me a gift card to a tattoo shop as, like, for me. And then when Smallville ended is when I got my Superman symbol tattoo done. And I'm, like, thinking about all, like you said, all that life that went on, but that was in the background. You know, because, like, I watched it live for the first three seasons, and then I lost a little bit in season 4 and 5 because that was, like, my – I'm working all the time. My parents would forget to DVR it or they'd erase it or whatever. So, like, you miss stuff. You know, and you're just kind of like – and then I picked up, like, okay, when the season would drop on DVD, I just go buy it and watch it, you know, binging it before we binged on Netflix. And then season 8 on, I watched live, you know. And that was also season 10 was around when they started the CW app. Like, but it wasn't an app. You had to stream from the website. Because I remember watching the Blue Beetle episode from the website, the CW on my laptop. See, look at this old conversation.
We've come such a long way. I'm like, oh, man, it's okay. I missed Arrow this week. It'll drop on Hulu tomorrow, right? Yeah. No, none of that. CW.com, catch up on Supergirl. None of that going on.
I just bought it on iTunes, so it drops in the morning and I watch it. Yeah. So it's just like, you know, it's crazy, but you know,
I was so mad. I had a band concert, freshman year of high school and I set my VCR wrong and I missed Leech, you know, and I was so upset. And then I had to go like on, you know, ShareBear or LimeWire, one of these things. And that's what I would always have to do if I missed episodes back in the day. Like somebody, you know, would upload these episodes and you download them. And of course, this is the internet speed weren't that fast. So you gotta download it before you leave to go to school. And so maybe by the time you got back, it would be done and you could catch up. But anyway, that program in the VCR, very important.
While you were at school, your mom picked the phone up off the hook.
I think it's, yeah, by that point, I think we moved past dial-up internet. Thank goodness. But
my mom was always behind on tech. She's like, we don't need that. And then like, I'm like, wait. Mm-hmm. You know, what's funny is I'm always big, like if you're into a comic book show, it makes me so mad when you're like, we're not going to put them in costume or we're going to do stuff out of costume. It's like, you know, watching Titans, sometimes they do these scenes where they do their superheroes, but they're still in street clothes. And I'm like, why? I'm like, you should be in costume. And I do this speech, but then I watch Clark and Smallville. And I'm like, somehow there's a comfort and I'm okay with him running around in his farm boy jacket, you know, being Clark. Because, you know, one reason is like, I have never been, even before Smallville, a huge fan of the concept of Superboy in the comics. Like,
oh, yeah. Of him having a suit in Smallville flying around. Like, that is such a.
Yeah.
Like, as a way your child, secret identity, much, right?
Like, you know, eventually someone's going to start to put stuff together that Superboy was in Smallville at this time. And then Clark Kent arrives in Metropolis. When, you know, so I've never been a huge fan of that kind of whole concept. I mean, I know there's actually a lot of history of Superman that comes from the Superboy comics because, you know, that's when Jerry Siegel was able to go back and he was able to like ghostwrite a lot of Superboy and mm-hmm. he expanded the mythology of the character and a lot of the stuff that we just know as Superman, like more about Krypton and stuff like that.
Bizarro made his first appearance there, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, came out of the Superboy comics. And so I'm okay with the comics existing. But, you know, but when I come to looking at that character in, like, live action, I like the idea of, like, the Smallville where he's figuring himself out. He still mm-hmm. does stuff, but he doesn't have this, I'm going to go put on my costume. And, right. like, when did, like, I always joke, like, if that's your thing, Superboy, okay, when did he wake up one day, like, now I am Superman? Yesterday I was Superboy, but today I am Superman.
Well, that's what's funny about, I mean, I have seen just a small handful of episodes of the Superboy TV show, but it's like, bro, how old are you? You're like, sure, you're not a boy, you're in college. I mean, Gerard Christopher
was
right?
older. So Gerard Christopher was older as when he started as Superboy than I think Brandon Routh and Henry Cavill as Superman.
And Dean Cain.
And Dean Cain.
Like, okay. I think. Because I read this once, and this is why I always said with him, like, I think Dean Cain was like 27 when he stopped playing Superman, And Gerard Christopher was like 31 when he started playing Superboy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, are you kidding me? It's like,
but that was a whole licensing right because they could use the boy name and not the man. But
there's
still
all kinds of stuff with that. Yeah, but I think, you know, and the crisis, the, you know, there's so many crises on DC Comics nowadays, right? But the original 1986 Crisis on Infinite Earths, they rebooted Superman and they just erased Superboy, and that was a genius decision. Yes. But Superman the movie did it first. People don't realize this. People don't think about it because that's the current continuity, but there's no Superboy in Superman the movie. Yeah. Like, but there is enough wiggle room where, like, he opens that, right? He opens that backpack and you see those blankets. You're like, that could be his costume. That could be when the Superboy show took place. So anyway, I love that kind of headcanon stuff, but I mean, just realistically, like you're talking about, like, you think about things in comics and they're cool. You look at him in live action, like, well, I think we need to change that. And I think that's definitely something that you have a lot of fun. I think the best way to do it, and this is, hey, Jeff Johns and Gary Frank did this in Superman Secret Origin, one of the best, one of my favorite Superman origin stories. They have Superboy go to the future with the Legion when he's a kid, does all his little adventures in his costume, and he comes back, and I think they erase his mind, or maybe they don't. Sometimes they do. But I think that's a great cheat of how to, like, you incorporate that, but then you don't do anything. Because in the Superboy comics, most of his adventures were with the Legion, because they didn't have... They don't have this comic anymore, but it's called Adventure Comics. It was one of my dad's favorite comics. I have so many old ones from my dad, and those were Superman and the Legion of Superheroes when he's a little boy and they're in the future doing stuff, right? So that's, anyway, that's, to me, that's a loophole to make that stuff work. But other than that, I agree with you. I don't want Superboy flying around in small villain costume, right?
You know, what's funny is, like, in the Jeff Johns Secret Origin, issues one and two are like, okay, but I love what he did when they got to Metropolis, because I loved how he did Metallo as being like under General Lane, and I love this, the smallness of it. You know, I was like, I love Superman Birthright. It's one of my favorite, but my favorite part of that story is actually the beginning, where he's like building up to go to Metropolis. And then by the end, you know, it's this huge, you know, battle thing. But what I loved in Origins was just how small it was. It was Superman versus like Parasite and Metallo.
Yeah, the movies can learn a lot from that, because once you have, like, it's the end of the world stakes, where do you go from there? Where do you go? You can't top it at that point, right?
Exactly. So you're talking about, like, live action comics. So here's, like, the question that divides all Superman fans. Trunks. Where do you stand with Trunks?
You have to wear the underwear on the outside of the pants. That is essential to me. Like, I don't like look at ones without them and say like, oh, well, that's like, oh, here's the, okay. Like I, obviously it's from the time period. Right. But he's an alien and this is how they wore stuff on their alien planet. Fine. Like there's no need. I disagree with the reasoning of why they take them off. If that makes sense. Like I don't mind costumes if they're not there, you know? I don't think like, oh, it's a terrible costume now because there's no trunks on it. I disagree with the whole, like, well, that looks dumb, and it's the 21st century now. We need to take them off. I'm like, no, that's how Superman looks. You know, like, you don't need to take those off. I think with Batman, it makes sense. It's more tactical stuff. Like, I don't think all these other superheroes need that, but with Superman, that is how the Kryptonians dressed, and it's like him wearing, like, some Kryptonian flag, if you will. I don't know. So I like the trunks. They never bothered me, and I don't think they're... I don't think they make him look silly, because he's just... like, Christopher Reeve looks... He demands your respect. Yeah. Walking around like that, you don't laugh at him, you know. I mean, you might, but then you're going to stop when he starts talking to you and stuff. So that's the thing. I love the trunks. I think, you know, if Tyler Hoechlin's costume had trunks and lower shoulders and a cleaner, bigger S, it's very close to being a great costume.
I think the shoulders have changed throughout the seasons. I wonder, like, if he just hadn't...
They're slightly tweaking it, you think? Or
because I wonder if, like, he just hadn't bulked up enough when they started, maybe because of COVID, like, or something. Like, he couldn't get to the gym, or I don't know. But it just feels like when it started, like, you're the pilot. It looks like it's a lot bigger up top.
Yeah, some of those shots look ridiculous. Like, he's like an action figure.
And then you go to, like, the finale. It looks a little bit better fitting. Yeah. So it makes me wonder. But... I loved his S on his previous costume.
I did not like his first costume, but the S was the best part, and they changed it. It's small and like kind of dirty sometimes now.
And
I don't understand.
Like I like the 3D S that pops. Yeah. So bring back that.
Absolutely. I mean, if we're talking trunks, you know, talking costume, right? I think Tyler Hoechlin's Fleischer costume, right, that he has in the flashback episodes, That's a top three Superman costume right there. It shows you that that costume still works, right? And just for some context for people, I think my favorite, my top three Superman costumes all have trunks on them. It would be the Brandon Routh Kingdom Come costume from Crisis. I think that's the best live-action Superman costume.
I do, too. Fantastic. I agree.
And the only reason it beats Christopher Reeve is because of the production value, like the material and stuff. And I like the cape. I like the longer cape, you know, for Brandon Routh has to. Christopher Reeve would be second because that is just right off the page. That proves that you can, if you do it right, accurate. You can. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Right. Yes, there have been tweaks over the years, but that's pretty much off the page Superman, his costume. And then third would be the Tyler Hoechlin flashback costume. I love it. And I wish. I hope that they'll kind of maybe meld those a little bit moving forward on the show. I think they can continue to tweak Tyler Hoechlin's costume, or if he just wore the Flash one all the time, that would be fantastic.
It would be cool if there's like an episode where like his costume gets torn, destroyed, lost, whatever, and
he's got to go back to the other one. Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
And and he has to go back to the other one. I think that would be pretty awesome. So my one friend, James, my co-host, is messaging me. It's just, he's like, oh man, he wanted to join us today, but he was unable to. So, it's just funny, but, you talk about that and I agree. Like, I think Brandon Routh has always been able to pull off trunks. Well, even on his Superman Returns, I think he pulled off the trunks.
Superman Returns, which is one of my least favorite costumes for talking costumes. But, yeah. But hey, they had the trunks, though. So yeah. I give them credit.
I like the belt,
with the Return. S in the front.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't bad.
It's fine.
I've never been a huge fan of just the oval. So I was like, okay, the belt's not bad.
It was much like the Tyler Hoechlin one now, the high collar and the shoulders. Like that. Those are somehow connected somehow. And if you need a low collar for Superman, just showing off those collarbones, it's part of it. That's part of it. It looks too much like a t-shirt.
I agree.
High collar,
I agree completely. See, we're on the same page here with that. Like, and I've come to the realization about trunks is, I don't mind them in the comics. That's fine. The art's fine. Live action just depends on how you create the suit and wear the suit, because like you said, the Kingdom Come suit, it worked fine. Like, and the Fleischer suit worked fine. But then I just feel like there's that area where it could not work. So it's just like,
On the Henry Cavill costumes, they would stick out.
Right. Like but I think there's color you can bring to it. So, but it's just funny that
you just want something to break that up. All that blue, you need something to break up the blue.
And that's why I like the belt that Tyler's costume has now. Like, it's the very new 52. It's got yellow and red.
Yeah, his belt originally when he showed up on Supergirl, not a great belt.
It did
not a good look.
His costume, like, I just remember seeing that first costume when I was photo and I was just like.
Yeah.
But who is your favorite, other than Tom Welling, who's your favorite Clark Kent?
Other than Tom Welling,
because Tom, Tom's always falls in that medium ground of like he's Clark, but like he hasn't really had to create that. People just showing up the house, that split identity, of Clark.
Yeah, that's the thing about Tom Welling. If they had made him do it and had more opportunity, he would have been great. I mean, because if you look at the end of season 10, I mean, you mentioned the Blue Beetle episode before, the Booster, right? He's so good in that. When he's like, oh, I got, you guys have a bathroom? I got a milkshake and all that. He's so good at that, right?
Like you said, he always played evil Clark the villain. Great.
He's so good.
And I in my head canon, like I told Janine, I was like, if I could go back in time, like if I was George Lucas, I'd be like, that's who I'd get for Anakin Skywalker. Like
Tom Welling is Anakin Skywalker. Hey,
just think about it, because it would make you feel like, oh, he's big already as Vader, not that Vader's height and everything is built because he's part robot, but that's a whole nother.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole nother conversation. Yeah. This is tough. I gotta go with Brandon Routh and Christopher Reeve, because Brandon Routh is playing Christopher Reeve's Clark Kent, so this is a kind of a cheat answer, but I think Brandon Routh kind of updated the Christopher Reeve Clark Kent to make it more realistic,
Yeah.
Because we love the distinction between Christopher Reeve, Superman, and Clark Kent. But if he's that over the top bumbling, like, who would take this guy seriously at all for anything, you know?
And that's like come to be like part of my, like, I enjoy it for what it is. You know what I'm saying? But like, that's part of what kind of my problem is, like, the idea is to blend in and seem meek, but like, he's so over the top that I'm like, first of all, would you take him serious as a reporter? Like, you're like, okay, can this guy do this job? Like, going undercover, getting the facts. You know what I'm saying? Job,
right. I will say the first two Superman movies, right? Like, he's new. So he's like getting used to it, right? And by the time you go to the third and the fourth one, maybe that's just an acting thing or writing thing, but he is more comfortable being Clark Kent, you know, like, especially in Superman 4. I mean, we're talking about Superman 4. Yeah. There's some great stuff in there. And I like him as Clark Kent is great in that because he's like a toned down, ridiculous version.
Yeah.
So in my head, Ken, it's like, okay, he kind of tested the waters. He's like, okay, maybe I should tone this back a little bit, you know, because the thing about the Brandon Routh Clark Kent is like, he's a goofy guy, but he's kind of a wallflower. He kind of blends in. He's not like sticking out too much. He's kind of, he's quirky, but he's not like, oh my, can you believe this guy over here drawing attention to himself too
much? And
that's
the other thing is, like, I feel like in the first Superman in the movie, like, it's the opposite. Like, he draws too much attention to himself for being too over the top. So you're like,
right.
You're like, everyone's paying attention to him, but not like,
hey, you're really overdoing it, bro.
Yeah.
So that's a, yeah. So that's, I would love to see more of Brandon Routh as Superman and Clark Kent. You know, I think him getting a second chance at it, second crack at it with Crisis was fantastic. And we got to see a little bit of his Clark and, you know, a little bit of Superman. And I think everybody responded real well to it. And of course, I'm sure he'd love to do it. So give us more of that, please. We have so many Batman running around these days. Can we have some more Superman? So
okay. So, you know, fingers crossed, like, my dream at this moment would be that, because just recently, I don't know if you're watching Stargirl, last week's episode was when John Wesley Shipp showed up again as Jay Garrick mm-hmm. on Stargirl with the JSA.
Now he's a different Jay Garrick than the one from The Flash?
It's kind of in that murkiness of
okay.
This is a post-crisis rewritten history, because Stargirl's Earth is the new Earth 2 that has to be discovered by Team Flash.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of that, it's post-crisis, revisionist history, you know, but it's very much it feels the same. Like, I really love seeing him as Jay, because if you're watching the show, I really think Starman, as he's supposed to be, is a D-bag. Like, and like, Jay puts him in his place.
All right.
So like with that. All that, what I'm saying is, I would love Brandon Routh's Kingdom Come Superman to be some form of like the JSA or past Superman or something, you know?
Yeah, there's plenty of ways to use him that way. Absolutely.
You and I had this conversation about like how Crisis affected the other shows. Was like, you know, they tried to say like all the DC shows existed. Then post-Crisis, only the shows that they tease at the end still existed. And it was kind of one of those,
that way
like,
to me.
You know, so like, so that was the end of Smallville. Like what we saw, like Smallville ended in a, you know, that post-Crisis. Because, you know, in what I cracked up about is they threw Swamp Thing in there, and yet Swamp Thing was already been canceled.
All they had to do, and I know they only had Tom and Erica for one day, but seriously, all they had to do was shoot one shot, one setup of them on the porch, two little girls, you know, looking up at the sun and like Earth 167. That's all we needed. And it would have taken an extra 3 hours. Maybe they just didn't have the time that day. Or don't even go up to the porch. Go up and stand next to the fence where you already were. You don't have to change your camera setup or anything. And I needed that one extra thing am I supposed to think Smallville got erased now?
I mean,
I didn't see them get restored. I didn't see Birds of Prey get restored or Batman and 66. All of the shows from way back, you just erased them. So, I mean,
it's horrible,
I don't know, man.
But that's kind of how I felt. In the same time, like, this is,
well, they botched that whole thing, though, you know, because the end. Because the whole point of the Crisis on Infinite Earths in the comics is like, all right, everything's on one Earth now. I'm like, okay. And of course, as years went on in the comics, like, well, there's 52 Earths. No, there's no. Fine. Yeah. It's the comics. But in the TV universe, like, they were like, all right, that's the Crisis. And then you have Black Lightning and Supergirl and The Flash and Arrow.
Which was awesome.
Fantastic.
And then also, and then they're like, well, Titans is on another Earth. And then the other big one was they for sure said Doom Patrol is another Earth, even though we had Doom Patrol on Titans.
Which just comes, it's the conflict there. It just, see, here's the thing, right? They were like, well, crap, we can't do two Supermen. Because remember in Crisis, and you know, if people are familiar with the comic book, in Crisis on Infinite Earths, they merge all the Earths together, but then the Earth 2 Superman is still around, and he's like, whoa, where's my job? And he goes to Perry White's office. It's kind of a funny thing. you couldn't do that because they'd have to explain, well, what do we do with Ren or Ralph, or what do we do with so-and-so? And but I guess my point with them botching it was like, okay, I get it. We're all on one Earth now. And then at the end, like the Stephen Amell voiceover is like, and then another Earth showed back up and they're still there. I'm like, that was sloppy.
That would have been better if it had been like this, like just like after everything had ended, we had this like black of just seeing like the planets divide again and like a tease, because then like they've done nothing with the idea of this new multiverse.
Nothing has changed other than Black Lightning, which is now over, and Supergirl, which is now over.
Yeah. And we have a new Batwoman who has no connection to these people, you know, so yeah. All that setup is over.
That Justice League shot of them is kind of a joke now.
Yeah.
You know? Green Arrow is dead.
You know, and it's just like, and the thing is like we said, they showed us what was still restored. Brandon Routh's Earth was restored.
Yeah. And he's got the yellow S, you know, which I would love to see that.
So it's kind of like, okay, so why would you do that? Just to get that iconic shot, you know?
That's fine, though. That was much better than Superman Returns one. I'm fine for it. And the music, like, I don't know. I'm fan service sometimes. I love it, and sometimes I roll my eyes, but I loved it that time. So, what about evil Kevin Conroy Superman? Is he back?
No. And that was just great, period, just because it was, like, the voice of Batman.
Yeah.
You know,
it's tough. I didn't bother me that he was evil, though. A lot of people were really upset by that. Like, we finally got Kevin Conroy live action. He's evil Batman. I'm like,
he flipped the script on us, you know, and it even had like the, you know, Kingdom Come style armor just to, you know, throw some.
And then Dark Knight Returns dialogue and all that. I don't know. It was so amazing to, although he wasn't in a Batman costume, right? To hear his voice and see his face and interact with Batman universe characters. That was fantastic. So I don't know. I know a lot of people feel gypped about that, but short of him being Bruce Wayne and Batman Beyond, what else were you going to do with him? You know what I mean?
Right. I mean,
which I would still love. I would like Michael Keaton to be that, but if not, let's get Kevin Conroy up there.
Yeah.
Batman Beyond. I don't know. What were we talking about?
Yeah.
Tangents.
I'm looking at all the questions like I had mapped out, and I'm just like, I think we've hit inadvertently in every way we've had, but here's one. I got two more for you.
Sure.
If you could have one of Superman/Kryptonian powers, which one would it be? Just one.
Yeah, I would say invulnerability. Because I feel like, and you can get really into the weeds with this. I'm like, yeah, if I fly, but I'm not invulnerable, that's not going to help me if a bird hits me.
That was like when I first was like posed this question, and we were talking through it with my friend Rebecca from Supergirl Radio. I was like, you know what? Like most time I go for flight, but then I got thinking like speed and all that. Like if my skin's not protected, like, you know, the Flash has the speed force, you know, that kind of protects him. But I'm like, if I don't have invulnerable skin and I'm flying or moving or anything, that's going to hurt. like strength is great. But if I'm not invulnerable, like that's going to hurt.
So I can lift a car, but is it going to like cut my arm off when I lift it up? Like, so these are, I don't know, just safety net is a vulnerability. You know, that's like you get pushed off a building, you're fine, right? Yep. You're in an explosion, you can walk out of it, right? So I go to invulnerability. That would be my go-to. Like, yes, it would be cool to fly. But I mean, X-ray vision, heat vision, like those don't really appeal to me. I mean, they're kind of cool, but
heat vision is just the one I would love because, like, you know, just because it's that, like, I could do something from a distance, just like someone making you mad. You're just like, you know, burn their tires or, you know, heat up your steak, you know, whatever.
What side note, since we're all about tangents here, favorite heat vision for you? You like small? To me, it's Smallville's. I thought that was very clever.
I like Smallville's, and like that ties into like it was first, but then, you know, in the screen, they did it with Superman Returns, like the waves, the heat waves, you know, like I thought that was the best, that like the projection of heat.
Instead of laser vision, which a lot of people call it, right?
I thought the blue from their eyes in Supergirl and Superman were at first, I thought was cool. But then, like, James and I have kind of rationale, like, that would have been cool if, like, in Superman and Lois, when they are using their heat vision and they went full solar flare.
It goes, like, from red to blue as it gets hotter, right?
Yeah.
Like, kids. Blue is hotter than red. Scientific fact.
Yeah. If they would show that, like, you know, when they're, like, going full solar flare, when they, into the Eradicator, if it was, like, it was red and then it went blue, that'd be a cool way of tying it back around.
Instead of just ignoring the fact it was ever blue, right?
Yeah.
They remember a lot of stuff on that show. That's his own conversation. But Smallville's evolved too, right? I remember when because I was so excited, like, man, Heat Vision, this is awesome. And season two, Smallville, I'm like, I remember watching it the first time. I was like, what is that? Like some squiggly line? I was like, over the course of the episode, I got used to it. I'm like, you know what? That's really clever because we're never supposed to see Heat Vision. You know, that's why he can use it in front of other people and that kind of thing. So that works. But then as Smallville went on, like he got more powerful, like, you know, to your point, right? As if they had, if only they had done that in Supergirl and Superman showing the red to blue, Smallville went from like clear to like red and orange and yellow kind of. So like they played with that evolution of the power level too. So, but I just thought of all the reinventions of powers, obviously the special effects, that's another reason I love Smallville, right? So I'm a Smallville guy, right? I'm here to talk about it. So like all of the powers, you know, X-ray vision was fantastic. Seeing the skeletons, the super speed using the Matrix special effects that had changed the game then in the early, you know, 2000s. Like Smallville is the best, you know, articulation of all those powers to me. So that's another reason to love it.
And have you watched Titans at all this season?
I have not, to be honest.
The show is like, Titans is one of those, like, some, it's got hit and misses.
I have friends that are keeping up with it and I've heard things.
But what I love is Superboy. I love the way they're doing Superboy.
I've heard consistently they were handling him very well. So
I love that he's a little bit more timid. And I hate using childlike, but there's a little bit more innocence to him instead of being like the angry Superboy from Young Justice. But one thing is when he does X-ray vision, his eyes go white. It's like this white glow. So like, it's really cool because they found a way of like visualizing him, like Superman, Superboy, like doing X-ray vision. So it's kind of cool, just, you know, instead of doing like the glasses down, like, you know, and I mean,
I love that. I love the kind of like lean forward and squint a little bit though. Like
and then they do like the, like, you know, Lois and Clark had the first kind of representation of like seeing something with his eyes.
I do not like that at all. I do not like when like beam, like cones come out of his eyes. And like, that's, I don't know. Like, but it's hard to do. The technology wasn't there yet. So
it's just
right?
How they did super hearing on Smallville, where they'd like turn and they like spin around and like zoom in, like you'd see the eardrum.
You know, that's one effect that Smallville never could really crack. They tried the eardrum, the CGI eardrum, the CSI style. They tried the whole like zoom in on somebody's mouth, right? Mm-hmm. And then they hold up, like you said, you do a 360 around them and like wash them out with light. Like, they just could never. Super hearing is a hard one to articulate. That's the one that everybody has trouble with.
And that's why, like, when I saw the Superboy and using the eyes, I was like, oh, that's cool. It's just a way of kind of, you know, because it's like when you go back and watch, like, X-Men First Class and James McAvoy as Professor X, like, what do I do? And he did the
touching, like, the temple thing. Yeah.
You know, just to kind of give some sort of, like, cue that he's using his ability, because other than that, it's just like this.
Yeah, and same thing with, you know, Christopher Reeve in the movies, like, he doesn't use it that much, but there's no, like, he's just standing there and you kind of like have a close up of his face looking at things and he's doing X-ray. And it's like, okay, we could make this more interesting. So whenever they can play with that, that's cool. I wasn't aware of that about the, cause I've Titans and that's a big blind spot for me so far. It's not, you know, as you know, I watch so much Smallville and older superhero shows. It's like, I plan to watch this at some point. I'm looking forward to it. And it's great that this library of superhero stuff with characters I like is just building up. I've heard it's hit or miss, but I've heard they did a lot of cool things. I am looking forward to getting into it down the road. So
I always tell people, like, if they're in just season two, watch the episode of Connor, because it's very bottled. Like, it's very, like, you don't have to have seen the show. Like, you'll get the little bit of connective context, but that's, you know.
Yeah, I might have to do a Superman special about that sometime on my podcast. Give me an excuse to dive into Titans for that. Because I love Crypto. I love dogs.
I
love Crypto.
Yeah, I love that he's
got a white
there.
Dog on Crypto. It's fantastic. So
I love that Crypto's in there. So my last question, and then we'll let you go, because for some reason everyone decided in the family to show up to my house at the same time. In the comics or in film, the Kents, alive or dead? How do you feel the Kent should play their role? Should they be alive or dead?
I think they should be alive. I think that Superman is not Spider-Man. And I think they lean into that a little too much. Like, Jonathan Kent is not Uncle Ben, right? But and I love Superman the movie, right? But, and that's fine to do with that. You know, there are valid interpretations of them being alive, not being alive. But I think because, like, the iconic definitive version of Superman did that, everybody feels like they have to do that.
Yeah.
Like on Smallville, when they thought at the time they're wrapping up in season 5, like, all right, well, I guess it's time to kill Jonathan Kent. oh, we ran five more years. Maybe we shouldn't have killed off Jonathan Kent. And that's a great refreshing thing about Lois and Clark. And I've really been rediscovering Lois and Clark's TV show and, you know, becoming friends with Matt Trix, who does the Lois and Clark podcast, and having the it be on streaming, you know, more accessible and stuff. And having him just be able to talk to the Kents and stuff is great, because, like, I like where everybody doesn't know secret identities, which is a thing in the Arrowverse. And so if you're going to keep that where, like, everybody doesn't know, like, obviously Lois will know at some point, you know, hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah.
But other than that, he doesn't allow people to talk to. So I love that he has his parents to kind of rely on, because the Kents are kind of what made Superman who he is. They're the difference between him being, you know, good or maybe not so good as they've seen in other versions.
No,
so
I totally 100% are behind you. Because, you know, like, we watched for review the George Reeves and the Kirk Allen series, and both of them start like he's adopted, and it's like then as he reached manhood, the foster parents passed away, and like they're gone,
right?
And it's just like, wow, like, dang, they killed both off quick.
Because I think the idea then was like the Kents were even older.
Yeah, you know? they were like in their 60s when they found
him. Right. So that's I'm a little more like, okay, that's I'll go with that. But then, like, in Smallville, like, you can't cast these young Kents and then kill off Jonathan. Like, what are you doing? So
I like, you know, putting the Kents as finding him when they're in their like mid to late 30s, where they're just old enough to where they might be out of their child years, like in that mindset. But
right.
They're not.
And that's what makes Clark more of a miracle, because Martha couldn't have kids biologically, right? Although she technically, quote unquote, should have been able to at that age range. So that's layer that I enjoy about Smallville.
And I like, one of my favorite is, I think it was in Grant Morrison's, I think it's collected in the Grant Morrison trade in volume one of New 52 Action, is when you have this, it's Jonathan and Martha going to the fertility doctor, and they're using all their savings to try everything. And it's like, the day that they're driving home from the doctor, when they found out like there is no hope, like they've exhausted everything, is when they find Clark's ship. And it just makes it that much more stronger, you know? And I agree, like, you know, I love the Superman Earth One that J. Michael Straczynski did, but I hated the Kents were gone, you know, in it.
Mm-hmm.
And like Superman and Lois, for example, makes sense at that point in his life.
Right.
To have
even they killed off Jonathan, and I was like, knowing ahead of the time, like, oh man, they're gonna kill Martha too. But if you think about the timeline, she would be like in her 80s by then,
right? So that makes sense for me, because, like, you know, like I said, once again, if you were to watch Lois and Clark and then kind of jump to this show, you have both parents, and then it's like, now it's like, what is Clark now without his parents? You know, like that whole show is about, he's the, you know, one of the themes is like, he's now the paternal, like, I kind of am surprised they didn't kill off Sam Lane. And I say that
I was shocked as well. Yeah.
Because I thought they would, because if you look at the progression of the show, his mother dies. Jor-El is later destroyed. So the last parental figure that Clark has is Sam Lane, his father-in-law. And I thought Sam Lane would die. So the idea of like, Clark no longer has any paternal figure to look up to, because he is that paternal figure for his boys. And that's like the closing of that arc of, I can't go to anyone else for wisdom.
The son becomes the father becomes the son. There it is.
You know, and I like the Kents being alive, because I feel like the Kents become Ma and Pa to like everyone in the DC universe.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Supergirl, especially, right? That's a misstep on Supergirl's show. Like, I'm like, who, she has a sister and random parents now?
Supergirl's whole legacy period in the comics is so convoluted.
Oh yeah. Like which version and all that. Definitely.
Yeah. You get into like, you have the Danvers, the Linda Lee, the Matrix, like all this.
Yes. Matrix. That's the one that dated Lex Luthor during the death of Superman. Right.
Yeah. And you're just like,
ridiculous.
And you're just like, oh my gosh. That's that whole crisis being the only Kryptonian thing. But, you know, one of my favorites I always reference is, I love the episode of Justice League Unlimited, Comfort and Joy, where Clark comes home for Christmas and brings Martian Manhunter. And Martha's like, has like the sweater, like, we knitted an extra, you know, gift from church here. And like, he gets bigger and puts it on. And she's like, there's blankets in the cupboard, or, you know, like, that's how I see them, like, to anybody that Clark brings around. And even it echoes back in the Superman Man of Tomorrow animated film, when Martian Manhunter shows up at the Kent's door and Clark's talking to him. The Kents are very welcoming. And that's just how I see them to everyone. Like, one of my favorite memes was the Mother's Day meme of Superman hugging Martha, like the first panel. And then there's Batman And then Martha Kent's hugging Bruce.
I haven't seen that. That's
like
great.
It's somebody did it, but like, you know, that's how I would see her, period. She's the mother to anyone who comes around. Yeah. So I like the idea of the Kents being alive, you know, and that's why it's one of those questions I throw out there for fans. Cause you know, we've had both of them gone, just one of them gone, but we've never had Martha die first and it just be Jonathan and Clark. Cause it's always
Smallville played with that in season 5 and that episode Brainiac, right? Where she had like the disease and you're like, oh man, are they going to kill Martha? But no, they stuck to Jonathan, but that would be interesting.
I would love to see.
There's got to be a version like that eventually, right?
I would love to see everything flipped, where it's like just for like I don't know what I would want to see him like. Martha dies first, and it's Jor-El's crystal destroyed, and he has Lara's crystal. So the idea is his Earth father's alive, and his Kryptonian mother, instead of always being the opposite, where his Earth mother lives and he has his Kryptonian father.
Yeah,
it'd be kind of interesting, but
yeah.
Zach, why don't you tell everyone, if they haven't picked up on, you know, your podcast, where they can find you online and get a hold of you and listen to your podcast?
Sure. Well, you can find me personally on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. I'm also the host of Always Hold On to Smallville, which is a podcast where we talk about each and every episode of that young Superman show. You've been on it several times. We'll be again in the future. Always fun talking to you about Smallville. And you can find us on Twitter, Always Smallville with one S, Always Hold On to Smallville on Facebook, and you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. And I also do some podcasts on the United Federation of Podcasts, so you can find us at UFP Earth. Do a movie show, do a show about Bigfoot, you know, just some, you know, bi-weekly, monthly, you know, over there. But have a good time talking to some friends about some subjects that we love over there. And that's Twitter at UFP Earth.
All right. Well, Zach, thanks for being on Krypton Report. We appreciate coming on and talking, you know, Smallville, which, you know, always gets some love on this show. But it's just nice to see that, you know, just branching out that the super fandom is huge. There's a Superman for everyone. So we don't have to argue over, you know, small stuff. So until next time, dear listeners, remember.
Look up in the sky.
The Krypton Report is a Tears production. We thank you for listening and enjoying, and please support us on our Patreon account, our T Public store, and check out our social media. Always remember to look up in the sky.